Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Hey, Bob. Good morning.
Hey, Ash. Good morning. All right, our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Cultivate an attitude that encourages and supports the practitioner. Throughout the day, each time you hear a negative message, turn attention to encouragement. Pick up the recorder to offer an encouraging message to the practitioner. All right, here is our first caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Linda Joy from Milpitas.
Hey, Linda Joy.
Hi. Wow, I'm always surprised to be first, but this is awesome. Such a beautiful day here. Show up, be present, is what I worked with yesterday, or today, yeah, well, this week, actually, and to try to stay with the process. And one of the things that came up for me is what a deep belief I have in the fact that I somehow don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
And so the affirmation and the thought I'm trying to replace that with is, yes, I belong. Mm-hmm. I'm part of the one. I light my candle. I have a beautiful lotus candle every morning that I use when I make the calls. And I am trying to really, I hate the word try, I am practicing staying with the process and just remembering who I truly am.
Uh-huh. Say a little bit more, Renajar, about staying with the process of choosing presence, you mean?
Yes. Yes, uh-huh. Just breathing. And I guess what I'm using to remember is just stopping in that moment and just taking a breath. And I'm just using the phrase, I am joy. I am peace. I am love. I am mm-hmm. and whatever comes up for me in the mm-hmm. positive affirmation.
Well, it's in your name, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I took it as my name.
Yeah. Well, and I project what you're doing, right, Linda Joyce, which is what we all do, is redirecting the attention. Because in stopping and coming to the moment, we then affirm or reinforce what is true. Because we are here, right? The breath reminds you that you are alive. The intelligence that animates is animating you. And because you're here, your very existence is sufficient. If you weren't here, then you wouldn't belong. But if you're here, you do by definition of your very existence. And it requires being lost in a conversation that takes you away from the moment to even entertain the possibility that you don't belong. Because if you exist, you do. Yes. You're part of all that is. And mm-hmm. so it's such a lovely practice and a very true one, right? Because it's not something that you're attempting to affirm, because affirmations are hopes, right? It's very
true
in that the attention is brought to this moment where the truth of what is so is what is in your awareness. And mm-hmm. it gives you that sense of non-separation, of being here, being with all that is, being part of all that is, breathing, alive, and that is sort of like the self-evident truth, right? Which is why it needs reinforcement, because we're so conditioned to move away from it, to think of ourselves as separate.
Yeah. Yes, and that's what I've gotten from the phone calls this week, is all I need to do is show up and be present. And, you know, that it's awesome when I can remember to do that.
Yes. And then, therefore, the training is in remembering to come to presence, not needing reminders that you belong, right? Because in coming to presence, that's what is in your awareness. And so presence mm-hmm. itself is a definition of existence, right? You can't not belong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really important to get that too. And I think that's what you're pointing us towards, which is if I'm here, then I'm here. Yeah?
Yes. I must belong yeah. because I'm here.
That's right. Exactly. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. And I'm getting that.
Very good.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm going to be in Paris all of May, and I'm so touched that I was able to be on the show before I leave.
Wonderful. And maybe you'll be on the show in Paris.
Yes, I will log on. I mean, I will call in.
Okay, wonderful. Safe journey.
All right. Go ahead. Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Linda. And Ashwini, at least for me, what that really brought up is like that what you both, it seems like what you're both pointing to is like, you know, once we're here, that what we find out is that's all that's necessary is to be here. And that what's important, at least, you know, at least for me, is, you know, the supports that I put in place that help me to remember to get back here.
Exactly. Exactly. That belonging, the absence of belonging is only in the conversation, and therefore in presence that there's no question, and I really need to practice getting back to where I sense that. And I project also that thing that Linda Joy is doing, which is to state what is so, closes the loop, because if even if I'm here and my attention wanders a little bit, it doesn't register in awareness that sense of belonging, and so it's easy for the voices to come and say, okay, well, you're here, but you still don't belong. That being here equals belonging is a good practice to have the attention on, to reinforce that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to write that down. Post that being here equals welcome, you know, belonging.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, great. Well, here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Chris in Three Rivers, California.
Hey, Chris. What are you
saying? Hey. So just enjoying being part of the call and loving this year-long retreat. So helpful, just all the support we have and we're getting.
Yeah.
Having a little trouble with the phone. Sorry about that. So, and just, it's just so wonderful to be encouraged. You know, there's no outside, nothing I have to do or impress or, you know, it's all here. It's all available with the mentor, with recording and listening. And it's, you know, it's not dependent on anything else. It's so unconditional and so supportive.
Uh-huh. So I think what you're saying, the assignment is to look towards encouragement for the practitioner. And what you're seeing about that is it doesn't have to be an external source of encouragement. The encouragement is available if we look for it through the mentor. It's accessible without having to reach out to something external. And the beauty of that is that it's always available and it's always unconditional. It's not based on performance. It's just simply encouragement is available when you look for it. There's something
it's
always
really,
on your
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Real, it's miraculous, really. I mean, to actually know this experientially that this is available, it's really goes against, you know, society or conditioning where mm-hmm. everything has to be earned or deserved or, the, you know, that kind of thing. So just the fact that that's available to us is just so amazing and just so, you know, we're so fortunate. And so
isn't it, Chris? Yeah. Well,
really.
Just underlying what you were saying, it is truly miraculous that given all of what we're up against in terms of the exact opposite of encouragement, right? Punishment, performance, earning, reward, incentive-based, everything around us supports that belief that we've got to earn something, we've got to perform in order to be loved, and then to be able to access a source of information that is just encouraging for no reason, right? It is truly miraculous.
Yeah. Just for our existence, you know, and that's enough. We belong, and we're here, and we're part of the party. You know, we're here. Mm-hmm. And it's just so fun to go against, you know, this giant capitalist society and the criminal justice system. And just so many things are set up in a very opposite way of life and of unconditional love and acceptance. And so just to drop in what I'm seeing with this behavior change and, you know, working with money this month in particular, this person, I get so excited about spending. And so I've many, many times spent every single dollar I have, and then it come crashing down to, what now, you know? So, I'll hear a lot of people talk about sort of the other side of that duality. And so just want to throw out there that this is something that has caused suffering, because not because of the content exactly, but because then I'm unable to, you know, support the things I want to support, like practice and support, you know, or maybe sign up for more things, or, you know, have the resources to support myself and to be available to, you know. So what I'm doing, what seems true is that this karma beneath the, you know, spend everything you have and you deserve the best and all these kind of conversations is this urgency, you know. It's like it's this story that if I don't get it now, I'm never going to get it, or that, you know, I know I'm going to be broke in the future, because that's the pattern and the habit, so I better get it now, which sort of perpetuates that being broke. And so, or, you know, not broke, broke's a crazy word, but just, you know, not having the money. And so, because there's nothing broken about it, I honestly don't feel tortured about it, except sometimes it just gets you to that spot where it's like, oh, I actually need some money to do some things. So I'm just really practicing with dropping the urgency in that way. So every time I'm wanting, you know, I feel a desire to buy something, even if I don't have the money, instead of getting caught in the conversation, I just have a little notebook and I write it down, you know, when I have some money, I'd like to get this, and then just put it away and it's just gone, you know, and maybe I'll come back to it someday, maybe not. And so, but when I'm actually like out there in a store or whatnot, I'm using, you know, just stop. Take 10 breaths, you know, say the ending suffering recitation, come back another 10 breaths, and then see, you know, just so really just pausing, waiting, and trying to drop that urgency.
Yes. Oh, Chris, you laid out so beautifully, right? Because the process allows us, the process we're doing this year for every content area is to get to the root of the story, right? And you're so clear. Mm-hmm. That what it talks you into believing or identifying with is absolute scarcity and absolute urgency. Since if you don't have it now, then you may not have it later, because you may not have the money for it. You have to have it now. And it comes with an excitement. And excitement is such an addictive experience, right? You feel high, you feel good. You really feel like you want to get this. There's the excitement of having it. It's a real rush. And then what you realize, though, is the sacrifices of the person who really, really wants to be spending that money perhaps on other things, right? So there's a consideration of how does everybody, what's compassionate for all aspects of you? And it's so brilliant to be able to inject presence into the process, right? Because the karma is like a freight train. It just keeps going, and it talks you into spending the money. And to be able to do something like, oh, I'm going to take a couple of breaths. I'm going to write down what it is I want. Because in that sense, there's no denial, right? There's the acknowledgement of the excitement and the desire to have this thing. That's not denied. But where the brakes are put on is the action.
Ah, that's such a good point. Yeah, because I didn't know what it was about that writing it down that felt so good, but that feels like what it is. It's like, hey, yeah, there's someone inside who loves whatever, you know, hiking gear,
yes,
or, you know, whatever. Just gets so jazzed. There's nothing wrong,
yes,
with that. It's just
no,
the actions, you know. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, well, and there's a way in which once it's acknowledged, you do have it. Because I would project that excitement and that anticipation of that possession is really what you want. Because once you have it, what do you do with it? Right? It's not the same feeling. And
yeah,
so the ability to really, really have what you really, really want is the experience of having, of purchasing it. And then, and we don't have that. That gets skipped over by the voice that says, go get it, right? The urgency is in the suffering.
Yeah.
The suffering is in the urgency. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Well, so fun to share with everyone and just to be part of this ongoing process of waking up and ending suffering. And just hello to all the monks and the Sangha, and just so, so happy to be a part of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for sharing with us that tip, because those are the kinds of very specific practice strategies that help all of us, right? And that is why we do it together, because we're all going to plagiarize each other's practices.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, take care. Go happy.
Thanks, Chris. And one thing that really jumped out to me about that conversation, Ashwini, is the behavior change piece. Because it seems that, and see if this rings true to you, that like that when I'm willing to have some sort of regular behavior change, it really upsets conditioning, because it's counting on me just doing the same thing all the time, unconsciously.
Yeah.
And taking one little action seems to have monumental effect.
Yes, I so resonate with that, Bob. The behavior change makes all the difference. It reminds me of these, the critical point of systems, where whatever the complexity of the system, if you can find the one point that will cause the system to come crashing down, you have sort of the power over the system. And the process that we're doing to really identify the place where the jitter can be introduced. And that is the behavior change that addresses the karmic message that is being perpetuated, then it really leads to a tremendous transformation.
Yeah, and it also seems like, to me at least, it points out why conditioning puts up resistance to what are seemingly small things, because those small things are huge threats to conditioning.
Exactly. It is the small things that the small things that make the transformation available, and that's what conditioning resists the most.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Here is our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol from Fort Townsend.
Hey, Carol.
And, hi. Hey, I seem to be learning more and more about money and finances as the month progresses. It didn't seem like much was happening in the beginning of the month, and my behavior change was to say thank you when I spend money and kind of celebrate my prosperity, and also appreciate the other person for receiving my money instead of, you know, kind of resentfully paying for something. And I've been forgetting to do it, you know, for, there's been mutual, 6 or 7 financial transactions during the last few days, and I've totally forgotten about it. So that's how it is.
Well, and I think that's the assignment coming up, right? That there's the ability to, the assignment for today, which is to be encouraging. It's all right. You know, this is something that that is huge. I project that it's a big aspect of suffering for you. You realized it. you decided to do this behavior change. And then, of course, conditioning talks you out of it, right? Because if you were aware, something huge, as Bob was pointing to, would be no suffering. So that there's that resistance in the form of forgetting. And so we bring encouragement to the process. It's like, it's all right, Carol. Well, you didn't do it in the last 7 transactions, but let's start doing it now. And that encouragement is unconditional. It's not on the basis of whether you did it or not.
Let's
do it together, right?
Yeah. I think what I've noticed, you know, like in the first part of the month is like, okay, I've got the big money things with a sense of ease. And then I noticed, like, just this morning, I was thinking of spending $10 to print this manual for a class so I don't have to read it online and 100% online. And then their ego started evaluating it. $10, you know, to print something, that's ridiculous. And, well, then maybe I should spend my time, you know, calling different print shops to see if I could only pay $5. And then, you know, I don't want to spend, you know, 40 minutes calling different places to save $5, you know. And I don't want anyone to find out in class that I spent $10. I mean, it's not it's ego, but I'm just seeing how it operates in these minuscule expenses, you know.
Yes. Yes. As Bob said, it doesn't matter how small it is. It's in the small things that the suffering is being maintained, right? Carol, and to me, the interesting part about it for me is that you were aware of it, right? You were aware of the conversation. And once you're aware of the conversation, then you have freedom to look at the absurdity of it as you were doing that. And there are two things that become possible. One, your commitment comes into awareness and you go, well, I'm going to spend this money and I'm being great. I could practice my behavior. This is an opportunity to practice my behavior change. I'm going to be thankful that I have it and grateful that the other person is going to receive my prosperity, right? We could switch our attention to that because that's what we're practicing. And what this year long has given us is a bunch of tools that assist us to capture the conversation, look at the subpersonalities, and go, is there something else in this money and finances content that I haven't seen through? And so maybe I can apply the process I did to all of the big things, to these small things, to see what it is I'm being tortured about and what karma is being maintained.
Right, right. And the fact that they're small things kind of brings it more into focus, you know, the pervasiveness of, you know, the suffering.
Yeah.
So,
and I would project it's the same in all of it, right? Carol, you're not worth it, right? Here's someone who wants to spend, who wants to have the convenience of reading something in paper, and there the voices start. Wow, you're going to spend that money on yourself? Is that worth it?
Yeah, and the doing it wrong business, too, that seems to be something ego is always...
What if people find out? How could you spend $10 on this? And I think you were talking about this on the other radio show, right? That whole sense of value and measurement, is that too much to pay for it?
Yeah, right, yeah. So... Yeah, so I'm touched that you remembered that, hearing me, you know, 2 days ago. That's really sweet. So one thing I'm going to do is, so I did make the poster for this commitment, but it was in a notebook, you know, and notebooks close. So I am going to make a poster today.
That's wonderful also, right? Here I am. I'm going to support this person. It's a form of encouragement, right? I'm going to support this person to have it in the front of awareness. And when we're out of the conversation, we can see how life supports us in all of these different ways to keep our commitment to ourselves.
Right. And while I get this paperwork printed today, I'm going to do my practice.
Excellent. That's it. Yeah. That's it. I do it now.
Right. Yeah. I'm happy. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sherry. I'm running.
Thanks, Carol. And we have about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to bring on another caller, Ashwini.
Sounds good, Bob. Thank you.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. This is Bev from Kentucky.
Hey, Bev.
Well, it's lovely to be here with you today. I am enjoying when it asks, I'm starting to see that the most encouraging, the best thing that I can do for myself is to train myself as much as possible to just come back immediately.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. Say more.
Because the voices will try to tell me, well, let's come up with a list of ways to come back, and you could do this, and you could do that, and I spend a lot of time planning to be present when I could just stop and be present.
Oh, brilliant. Exactly. That's such a bamboozle, right, to catch on to.
Yes.
That here I am. I have an intention to exit the voices, and the way the voices keep my attention on them is to engage me in a plan on how I'm going to be present. And as soon as you catch on to that, it's like, nope, my practice is to just drop the conversation and get here. The real plan is don't indulge the voices at all. And the sooner you can come to awareness about the fact that I'm in a conversation with them, I drop it and get here. With no standards about that.
Yeah. I see that across the board. It's like conditioning self-hate can't get at me much anymore with a lot of negative stuff. So what better way to engage me than have me talk about, quote, spiritual stuff or things I'm going to do to make things better. And then I just end up talking about it and, you know, when I could have been doing it.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes, yes. We say that so often, right? By the time you make the plan, you could have executed it many, 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 many times. Right?
Yeah.
And it's so much more important to do it than talk about it. Yeah.
And one of the things that I came across this at the retreat last week was, you know, counting the breaths and meditation. And I've even carried that over into my daily life. As soon as I see myself identified, I just say one, just like I were counting my breath. And that has been very helpful to bring me back to what's in front of me.
Yes. Two things you said there, Bev, right? One, there is a process we train in already. That's meditation. And here we are sitting in laboratory conditions in order to train our attention. And so every time we catch ourselves, when we become aware that the attention has wandered, we bring it back here, back to one. So it's a skill that we know and a skill that we can apply. And there's such a wonderful practice of sort of cross-pollinating the skill, right? Because wherever you are, you're able to come back to one.
And then look up. That was another suggestion that you had made. Say one and look up, and it just brings me back most of the time. So, and it's pretty simple.
Yes.
It's real easy.
It is. It is. And that's an important awareness that how conditioning complicates things, like elaborate plans on how to come back to presence.
Yes.
And all you have to do is look at the skill that you already have and apply it. And, I'm here. I look up. My awareness is expanded. And I think the other thing you said, which is so important for us to get, as we practice, all of the gross negative stuff may not be what gets us anymore. But it's the benign stuff. It's the stuff that's good, that's spiritual, that it can engage us in and bamboozle us into believing that because our attention is on that, then we are doing the right, quote, spiritual thing. But to recognize it is also a conversation and to come back and come back to presence, because presence is what you're practicing, not a plan about being present. It's so good to catch on.
And one thing I would have to say, I finished my second retreat last week, and going, if anybody's on the fence about going to a retreat, it's like it takes all the stuff we've learned and practiced and puts it in a it's just I see a lot. I always learn a lot about what I'm practicing at retreat, because we're there, we're not engaged with the outside world, we're there with like-minded people, and it's such a, it's hard to explain. You have to experience it. So if you have not experienced it, I would say get yourself to the monastery, because it has been so helpful to me.
Thanks, Beth. It is true. There's nothing like a retreat experience, because I think we were looking at it in the retreat, how much more present we are, because day in and day out, moment by moment, what we're doing is redirecting the attention, right? It's not in conditioning's hands, and therefore the space of awareness that gets created for us to see things, it's like no other place. And as you said, it's a concentrated practice of focusing the attention and expanding the awareness.
Yes. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity and all the people that shared it with me and everyone out there encouraging me. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Viv. Thank you so
much.
Have
a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bev. And that brings us to the end of the show, Ashwini. And here is our assignment for today. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We are practicing unconditional love and acceptance.
Wonderful. I think we have many people practicing that already.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Bob. Go happy.